Blog Talk Radio.
The blessing is on you. Well, bless God. This is Roderick Owensby. You know, there is a nature, believe it or not, in man that is a beast nature. Yes, we're going to be talking about the mark of the beast. Stay with me. Listen, you can call in at 818-431-8553. 818-431-8553. Stay with me in just a moment. There's a word that God has given me. I want to share it with you. It is a word that will change your life. Believe it or not, there is something about man. When man refuses to let go of pride, spiritual arrogance, the beast steps in. I want to show you in the word of the Lord and by revelation that there is a beast nature waiting to come out. You must be warned. The mark of the beast has already begun. It's been here millions of years. There is no start to it. It happened even in the Garden of Eden, and even before the Garden of Eden. We want to reveal through the Word of God. Hi, I am Roderick Owensby, a king in the earth, declaring to you the Word of the Lord. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Check your speakers. This ain't a self-help song or another makeover song, but how it made me over. You dig?
I like me. Yo, you like me? Cause I like me. Do you like me? See, I like me. Cause he likes me. God likes me. Yo, you all like me?
I like me. Yo, you like me? Cause I like me. Do you like me? See, I like me. Cause he likes me. God likes me. Yo,
sharp, big nose, big lip. Kinda sus a sudden butter, but I never trip. Got my daddy swag and I walk with a limp. Got a hot wife, no need to be a pimp. Never been cute, never been fly. Since I've been changed, got that twinkle in my eye. Got my grill fixed, now I smile when I speak.
Tell me who that is.
Yo, it's that Jesus freak.
Yo, you like me, cause I like me. Do you like me? See, I like me, cause he likes me. God likes me. Yo, you all like me.
I like me. Yo, you like me.
Sir.
Cause I like me.
Juice in the booth.
Like see, I like me.
Why?
He like me.
That's the piece right there. Hey, I've been waiting a long
like
time
me.
For this.
I
one.
Just smile. I'm so content, and I ain't even got yellow stones on my wrist. I hear the world say I'm supposed to be rich, but I don't buy that, man. I don't go with the trend. Go the whole mile, lose or win. I hope that's the impression that the CDs give. I'm more concerned about how they see me live than trying to get a house from them TV cribs.
Hey,
like me.
Oh.
Yo, you like me, cause I like me. Do
sir,
you like me?
That's a problem,
like
baby.
Cause he likes
sir,
God likes me.
That boy feel good
like
right
me.
There, baby.
I like me. Yo, you like me, cause I like me. Do you like me?
Hey.
I like me, cause he likes me. God likes
true.
Me, so you won't like
catch
me.
Catch his feet, baby. You feel that right there? Yo.
When the lights fade, I know that you see
more than my swagger, but it's you and me.
From the storefront church to the packed out floors,
they want an autograph, but I'd rather give them yours.
Your ink don't fade, the crowd once more, the king's on stage, the final encore.
Can't believe it's me now chilling backstage. Big nose, big lips.
Go get your hands raised.
From Texas,
I
baby.
Like me. Hey. Yo, you like me? Cause I like me. Do you like me?
Do you like me?
See, I like me.
I like
cause
me.
He likes
me. He likes
God me. Likes me.
God likes
you
me.
You all like me?
You're
you
a size
like
12.
Me? Cause I like me. Do you
size
like
17.
Me? See, I like me.
Size
like
22.
Me. God likes me.
He likes
so you.
You
don't like me.
Well, bless God. I want to show you in the word of the Lord how it is so easy through pride to be caught up in pride and arrogance. And believe it or not, there are many people and there are many spiritual leaders who have begun in the beast nature without even knowing it. So perhaps there would be much repentance tonight. I'm going to obey God concerning this word. First of all, I'm going to ask you to get your word and go with me. I want to start in the book of Proverbs and show you some things that are so powerful. Let's go to the book of Proverbs. I'm going to turn there. Turn there with me. Let's go to the book of Proverbs, and I believe, yes, I want to go to chapter number 12. I think I may start at verse 1. The mark, do you have it? Let's see. Chapter 12. Here we are. Proverbs 12, and I'm going to start at verse 1. It reads, "Whoso loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is brutish." Okay? The Word of God gives instruction, which causes or generates knowledge. This has to do with the true knowledge of God, the true knowledge of life. Much knowledge is generated in other capacities and may or may not be true knowledge. The knowledge that pertains to life found in the Word of God is true knowledge. Verse 2, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 2. It reads, "A good man obtains favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn." Favor of the Lord is the highest attainment of anyone who is seeking God. Listen to this now. What you want and what I want, more than money, more than prestige, more than position in life, is the favor of the Lord. Once you have God's favor, you are not limited to any earthly blessing. You're not limited to any spiritual blessings. Many kings in the Bible shunned or did not receive God's favor, and they suffered greatly. They lost mighty men in war. Some of them became insane. Verse 3, "A man shall not be established by wickedness." That's why there's no need for you to worry about wicked people. David even said, "Why do the wicked prosper? Fret not yourself because of evildoers." You know, it used to be when you talk about evildoers, you think of the world. Baby, look around you. Might be the one shouting next to you, dancing next to you. Evil. See, judgment begins at the house of God. You know, you never found Jesus going into a club whooping people. Think about it now. But when he saw the people selling in his temple, he began to overthrow tables and began to say, "This is my Father's house, a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves." You know, some of y'all go to those type of church where auctions are being raised, not offerings. And listen, Jesus was raised from the dead. He said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men." Uh-oh. Yes, I'm telling you the truth. He said, "If I be lifted up." He never said lift an offering. The Word of God declares you make up in your own mind before you go to church. And furthermore, not even about going to church. you make up in your mind that you're going to see somebody, if you see somebody hurting, that you're going to do something. Okay? You cannot say you love God and shut up your bowels of compassion. And for some of you that give, stop talking about it. Stop bragging on yourself. Don't tell anybody. You know, Jesus will work miracles and he will tell the disciples, tell no man. So, let's understand that the beast is all around us. And before this hour is up, you're going to understand that the beast's nature is not far from those who walk in pride and spiritual arrogance. Look at verse 4 of Proverbs 12. I want to give you a great foundation, and then we're going to get into some deep nuggets, okay? Now watch verse 4 of Proverbs 12. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she who makes ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. You know, Ruth, a woman in the Bible, is an excellent example of a virtuous woman. You can read that about her in Ruth, the third chapter. Verse 5, the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsel of the wicked are deceitful. Okay? The trouble with the world is wrapped up in this proverb. Regrettably, there are precious few who are righteous in this earth, with many who are wicked. Consequently, deceit characterizes the dealings of man. Look at verse 6. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood. This is both natural and spiritual. But the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. Verse 7, the wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he who is of a perverse heart shall be despised. Verse 9, he who is despised and has a servant is better than he who honors himself and lacks bread. Okay? Verse 10. A righteous man regards the life of his beast. Mm-hmm. But the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. Verse 11. He who tills his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he who follows vain persons is void of understanding. You show me somebody that hang around vain people, full of vain talk, I'll show you somebody void of understanding, void of knowledge. Okay? Verse 13, the wicked is snared by the transgressions of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. Listen, if you walk by faith, you're going to have some trouble, but I promise you, you're coming out of the trouble. Verse 14, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. Now, I don't care what you go through. Keep talking right. Keep talking faith words. Keep speaking faith. Keep speaking destiny. Don't speak ill of anyone. I don't care what they do. Speak forgiveness, because those same people will see you blessed. You're blessed now, but those same people will see you blessed according to their own standards. You know, some people don't think you're blessed unless you drive a certain car, live in a certain house, wear certain clothes. Matthew 6 says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all that other stuff God would add. I'd rather God add the blessings than I add. Because if I add it, it's going to have sorrow. But the blessings of the Lord makes rich and added no sorrow. That means when God add, if he bless you, he will not add sorrow. There's a lot of people, and somebody listening to me right now, you got enough money to buy anything you want, but you are terribly sad. 818-431-8553. I want to help you. Now, let's go to the book of James, chapter 3. Setting you up, because I want you to understand about this beast nature. the book of James, chapter 3. James chapter 3, let's see here. Verse 7. Listen to this. Let's start at verse 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. In other words, fire destroys, even does the tongue that speaks negatively. Listen, let me tell you something. Something about a beast that hungers, the tongue. You think you have taste buds. You don't want to see a hungry beast. Because if you are in his way, you will be his dinner. And so it is with the someone who carries the beast tongue. Even as you think about your favorite food, dessert, your taste buds, you have a desire to eat certain things. So it is with people who gossip, people with a beast tongue, who gossip, who are negative. You have some people that will look at you and they will speak against you because they have a beast tongue. Listen to this, dear hearts, and be delivered. A beast tongue. Are you around somebody with a beast tongue? All they do is dog out people. You know, all they do is speak against God's servants because they have their own church. It's called a gossip church. They may not have a building, but they have a certain amount of people around them. And they never get tired of those people, and those people never get tired of them. And all they do is sit around and form their opinions without any word, without any revelation, and they have a negative spirit toward anybody. And you know what? It's so foolish for you. If you hang around somebody like that, you can rest assured that you are the topic of the subject when you are absent. You are the subject of the same crowd in your absence. And people like that protect each other. You know, gossipers are very protective over gossipers. You know, they protect their interests. Okay? So if you have a beast tongue, I want you to notice this. You can be delivered tonight. James chapter 3, verse 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue, ladies and gentlemen, in some way is responsible for all, listen, the iniquity in the world. Think about that. The beast tongue, the negative tongue, is responsible for all of the world's iniquity. Think about the news. Think about certain media. The news, who make a living or crave for certain ratings by tearing down people. Professional liars. You think you lie, you know. You don't tell the truth about who stole the dollar bill or who stole the cookie. That lie is just as dangerous as any other lie. A lie is a lie. There are people, they are professional liars. They will make a lie. They will first of all put a tuxedo on a lie, and they'll make it stand up and take a bow. They are professional gossipers. They know what to listen for. They know how to twist words. They know how to target a celebrity or target a preacher and just dog them out. They know how to take the editing and make a person sounds like he's saying something that he's not saying. They only give you a half truth. So we have the type of people in the church world, professional liars, spiritual paparazzis. They spend their time dogging out people. And if they listen to you, they're only listening to find fault. They're not listening for knowledge. I'm talking kinfolk. Now, look at this. So the negative tongue is responsible for all the iniquity in the world. We're getting close to this beast nature. We're right here. Listen closely. Stay with me. Now, look at this. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. He's letting you know I'm talking about that little thing in your mouth. Our mouths has something in it that if we are not tamed by a fruit of the Spirit called temperance, self-control, the discipline of God, that little member, the scripture says in verse 6, it sets on fire the course of nature. Getting close to the beast now. The tongue sets us on a particular path, and in this case, the wrong path. This is what the word means by it sets the course of nature. Now watch this. And it is set on fire of hell. By using this word hell, there is an understanding of not only the wickedness of the tongue, but as well its destructive power. You can be the nicest person on earth, but all it takes is somebody to say something negative about you around negative folk. And when those people meet you, they won't think about anything else but what they've heard about you. It happened to Jesus. They called Jesus a troublemaker. He did miracles by Beelzebub. Jesus said, listen, Satan's kingdom is not divided. I don't know who you're talking about. I'm casting out devils, so I can't be on the devil's side. Praise God. That's what's happening right now in your ears. Demons are being cast out. Spirits are being cast out. Are being exposed. We've let this beast carry on too long. Well, I've been sent to you to expose the beast. Listen. Verse 8, James 3. But the tongue can no man tame. And only, listen, the Holy Spirit can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil. Full, get this, of deadly poison. You know that's a beast. When the word says that our tongue, uncontrolled, when not submitted to the Holy Spirit, is full of deadly poison. Now that sounds like a snake, doesn't it? Venom. You got some people with a nature of a serpent. Some people have a nature of a cobra. I mean, some people got a professional, they've been anointed by Satan to destroy people. They would never look at themselves and click, click, click. That's those skeletons in the closet. They would never open up that closet because they know those skeletons will fall out. But they will spend their time dogging out people. You got them on a job. You got them on jobs. This one trying to get promoted by dogging that one. And you got people in position that just sit up and think of, how can I make somebody look bad? Listen, we're in the time when those that have got their little shovel, listen, if you got your shovel, listen to me. Yes, I'm talking to you. If you have your shovel and you digging a ditch for somebody else, get ready, because you're digging it for yourself. And you that love the Lord, learn to step aside and let folk fall in. Know when, ask God, when do I step aside? Because the person that's been digging a ditch for you, they're going to have to fall in. Don't be in their way. Because the word of God says that they will fall in the same trap. Look at Haman and Mordecai. Haman tried his best to have Mordecai killed, But the very instrument that he was building to hang Mordecai, he was hung himself. This, I loose it. We're in the hour. Listen, you repent. If you got a shovel, stop it. Put the dirt back in the hole. Pat it down. That's right. Throw away your shovels. Because you're digging your own grave by living your life and becoming subject to the beast nature. Look at this. Now, the tongue is full of evil, unruly, full of deadly poison. That's amazing, isn't it? You that are believers, you have to realize it means that just because you are saved, it doesn't necessarily guarantee a change in this problem, the tongue. Okay? Only the cross, only the blood, the atonement of Jesus, and the being submitted to the Holy Spirit can tame the tongue. Verse 9, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men. You can't bless God and curse men. The beast nature. Listen, I'm going to come back and talk to you about a king. A king that became a beast. Stay with me. I'll be right back. This is Roderick Owensby, sent to you with a kingly anointing and giving God all the glory and all the honor, because it's due to him only and not me. I bless God. I'm going to get you away. Let's be delivered from any sign of this mark. Because believe it or not, many Christians have been marked and don't even know it. Stay with me. I'll be right back. 818-431-8553.
Are y'all ready? Look at verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast. Everybody said beast. Of the field which the Lord God had made. Why would God make a beast? And people worry about the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is when your flesh refuses to submit to God. You already have the mark. And 6 is the number by which God made man, right? On the 6th day. Why is it 666? Because number 6 means dominion. God made man to have what? Dominion. Now watch this. When you allow sin to have dominion over you, you're in the mark. That's why the mark is about 6. God made man on the 6th day. Gave him dominion. Satan said, okay, since you made man on the 6th day, then I'm going to mark him too. Did you notice when Cain killed Abel, there was a mark on him? Because the mark is made. And when you refuse to submit to God and allow your flesh to be dominated by sin, you mark yourself. And God, and when a man has marked himself 3 times, there you go. 666. You mark yourself in the flesh. You mark yourself in your mind. 2. Number 3. Then you mark yourself in the spirit. And there is the beast. It's called a reprobated mind.
Well, let's go to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel, do you know about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were on trial for not submitting to this king. And I want to tell you what they said. See, you will see the beast nature in people when you don't agree with them, okay, in their evil ways. Now, verse 8 of Daniel 3. Listen to this. Wherefore, verse 8, Daniel 3, go there. The book of Daniel, chapter 3, verse 8. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. Okay? They accused the Jews. They pointed more particularly at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but actually pertained to all Jews. These three men stood out. Verse 9, they spoke and said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. They gave him honor. They spoke and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, have made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, and all of these instruments, every kind of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falls down, whoso do not fall down and worship, that he should be cast into the midst of the fiery furnace. And there are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded you. They serve not your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. Verse 13, then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage, he was full of rage, fury, commanded to bring these three men. Then they brought these three men before the king. Verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said unto them, is it true that you do not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set you up? Now, if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the music, all kinds of music, that you fall down and worship the image which I have made. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour, they didn't have long, the same hour in the midst of the fiery furnace. And who is, watch this question, and who is that God who shall deliver you out of my hands? Huh. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this manner. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace, he will deliver us out of your hands. Watch this faith. Look at this, verse 18 of Daniel 3. But if not, you have to get to the point in your life that you can say, if God doesn't do it, watch this. But if not, verse 18 of Daniel 3, be it known unto you, O king, that we will not serve your gods nor worship the golden image which you have set up. In other words, if he don't deliver us, we are yet not bowing down to a false god. But if not, it doesn't show a lack of faith. It only that they are not functioning in the realm of presumption, as so many believers today. Listen, you have to know the difference between presumption, and faith. You see, you don't presume. You don't wish that God would do something. You have to, he that comes to God must believe that he is. You either believe that he is or not. Real faith is not presumptuous. It's definite. It's total trust. Verse 19, then King Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed. Okay? He got ugly, y'all. He got very upset. He said, listen, heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was heated. And he commanded the most mighty men who were in his army to bind these three men and cast them into the fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, and other garments, and were cast into the midst of the fiery furnace. And the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot. The flames were so hot, it slew the men who put these three men in this fiery furnace. Do you feel like you're in the fiery furnace now? Do you feel like that it is so hot you feel like you can't take it? Well, listen, you stand still and see the salvation of God. Verse 24, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, or in other words, he was surprised. And then he got up in haste and he spoke and he said to his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, yes. Okay. Verse 25. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. Loose. Sometimes you cannot be loosed until you get into the fire. Let me tell you something. Some of you will be bound until you go through fire. Some of you feel like, I can't shake this sin. I can't shake this situation. Listen, the fire will. Because one thing the fire would do, it would burn off everything but you. You have to understand that God is a consuming fire. What does he consume? He's not going to hurt you. He will consume everything that will keep you bound. See, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were not loosed. They had issues. But, honey, when they got in that fiery furnace and it was heated up seven times more, they were loosed. Christ was in there with them, and they were walking around. That means, listen, we're bound until God put us in a situation. There's no sense of you crying like a crybaby. No, it's not easy. You're about to lose your home or lost your home. You can't find a job. Listen, you're not spiritually happy. You've gone through divorce, child molested, drugs, all types of evils, and yet you love God. Well, honey, get in the fire of faith, and I promise you, you will be loose. King Roderick, tell me, how? Well, first of all, listen, Peter didn't walk on the water by staying in the boat. Come on, some of y'all comfortable in your little churches. You're comfortable around people you know, prophesying to each other every week. You better get out of the boat. Most of these pastors don't want to see anybody leave. Why? Because after you, hey, you're taking their money away. I'm going to be honest with you. Church is so far beneath what God wants to use. If you're still in church, that's good. You know, the scripture says, don't forsake to assemble yourself together at church. No, it didn't. He said, forsake not to assemble yourself together with believers. Where two or three are gathered in my name. Listen, the emphasis was not on two and three. The emphasis was on the significance of that which seems small, but actually is greater. Look at you. You walking around now, but you started off as a small seed. You and I, everyone that's living. You started off as a small seed. You started off as liquid. Glory to God. And you grew up. Okay? So, church isn't what most modern day Christians think it is. Okay, Matthew 6. You see, the harvest is bigger than church. Pastors, I'm trying to help you. You sitting up waiting on a harvest for 20 years. Keep staying in that boat. You'll never see the harvest. There's an apostolic prophetic move that the apostolic faith had never seen. There's a prophetic move that the prophets have never seen. There's a harvest that cannot be numbered. Wouldn't try to number it anyway. But it's only coming to people that were willing to step out of mother, or the boat of religion. Most people have been stuck in church so long, they're too scared to even witness. Most Christians don't even witness anymore. A child, it's Sunday. A girl wear my stockings. I'm getting dressed. Pastor said be there on time. You so subject to the pastor more than your husband. I love you. Mwah. Now listen. The beast has snuck up on the body of Christ. Listen closely. Look at the king. He said, wait a minute. I put in three, but now I see four. Look at verse 27. And the princes, governors, and captains, look at all these people, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power. Then Jesus come and he said, listen, nothing by any means shall hurt you. Now, I just started you off about a power of the tongue that is a fire, is an unruly member of the body. And I just talked to you about the beast tongue. Listen to this. And all of these men and all of these people came and they saw how the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Now this is powerful. Here's a king that gave a word to kill these men, but now he's on his way to being converted. Now, there's a story in the Word of God in this same book. The story about Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel is spanned for about 43 years of his reign, from his rise to power through his fall due to pride, to his eventual repentance, followed by his salvation and restoration. His case speaks of the long-suffering mercy of God, who desires all of us to be saved. Okay? It also speaks of the faith of Daniel, who refused to compromise his principles, but did not cease to serve the king. Watch this. And you remember Daniel was cast into the lion's den. The events described in this chapter come toward the end of Nebuchadnezzar's life. Look at this. King Nebuchadnezzar records a testimony of his conversion and gives us an account of the dream that God gave him, God used to reach him. Daniel may have been the king's scribe, for he had been the evangelist who proclaimed to him the way of salvation. And Daniel, he even said, renounce your sins by doing what is right, and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. This is the problem of our generation. The oppressed have not been shown mercy, but the day is here when God's going to show his mercy. In Daniel, the fourth chapter, the first three verses are the formal introduction to the decree. They give the sender's name, King Nebuchadnezzar, making it clear who the I is who writes. Next, they state to whom the decree is sent, namely to his own subjects and to others outside of his realm. The formal greeting that the word of God translates was actually shalom. It's a common expression of good wishes in the Semitic language. The king then sets out the purpose for which he is writing. namely to share the amazing signs and wonders that was wrought in his life by the Most High God. Nebuchadnezzar describes his kingdom as enjoying peace and prosperity, chapter 4, verse 4. By this time, he has subdued Syria, Judea, Egypt, and Arabia, and had accumulated enough wealth to make Babylon one of the most fabulous cities of the ancient world. Now, at this point, the king had another dream, which he remembered, but once again, his Babylonian experts could not interpret it for him. Okay? Daniel was finally called in. Nebuchadnezzar addressed him by his Babylonian name, but acknowledged that he had a different spirit within him. And though the king was still in the stage, the king wanted to know the interpretation of his dream. And Daniel had the wisdom, ladies and gentlemen. That's why it's so important to have the wisdom of God. You can even go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse, and when it talks about the gifts of the Spirit, and the body of Christ want to seek the gifts that seem to be more exciting and skip over the first gift mentioned, the word of wisdom. Solomon was great because he sought wisdom. Okay? Nebuchadnezzar had dreamed of an enormous tree that provided food and shelter for all. This is in chapter 4, verse 10 on. In his dream, he saw a divine messenger issuing a command for the tree to be cut down, its branches trimmed, its leaves stripped, and its fruits scattered. Its stump and roots were left in the ground, albeit bound with iron and bronze. Listen to this. Then in a dramatic twist, the image changed from a tree to a man drenched with dew and left to live among animals in the field. Worse than that, the man was given the mind of an animal for a period of 7 years. Listen close. Still in the dream, the king was told why this was being done, that the living may know that the Most High God is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes and sets over them the lowliest of men. I have a prophecy for you, ladies and gentlemen. There's going to be entire kingdoms given over to men and women of God that you have never heard of, that you would never think of. God is over every kingdom of the world. Let me say this again. Elohim, the I am that I am, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is still on the throne. Came in the person of Jesus Christ, died, buried, rose again. God is yet over every kingdom of the earth. Man can walk around like he's all that if he want to. It is God that sets one up and takes another down. The shift is here. The changing of the guards. You better get ready. Now listen to this. Few dispute that God reigns supreme over human affairs in general. What many find hard to understand is why a good God has allowed notoriously wicked leaders to hold power over many nations. You can look at Africa, any nations, okay, in different parts of the world. Why does God allow this? Well, you're living in the greatest time, because you're going to see things that are going to blow your mind. Now watch this. God dealt with Daniel and gave Daniel instant understanding of the king's dream. But he was troubled because, watch this, of what it foretold for the king he had been serving for over 30 years. Some of you have been serving people, but God's going to give you a word. And it's not going to be an easy word. So Daniel was troubled. He served this king for over 30 years. And for whose salvation he must have been praying. Diplomatically, he began his presentation by wishing that the dream were for the king's enemies. Then without mincing words, he decoded the dream. He said, "You, O king, are that tree." The tree represented Nebuchadnezzar at the height of his glory. The Most High had issued a decree that Nebuchadnezzar would become insane for 7 years until he acknowledges God as the sovereign Lord. When he repented and did this, the kingdom would be restored to him. Are you in a position right now to where God has to cause insanity? If you look with spiritual eyes, insanity is everywhere. Look at in the book of Acts, the 9th chapter, there was a man named Saul. He had the beast. And the Bible said while he was on his road to Damascus, he was on his way to arrest some Christians and even kill. This man thought he was doing God's will by murdering God's people. Insanity. Saul was insane. The word says on his road, he saw on this road, he was knocked off of his beast. Let me tell you something. The same beast that he was knocked off was in him. Saul was the beast. He had the mark of the beast. What is the mark of the beast? It's when your flesh totally thinks it's God. It's when you sit in the temple declaring to be God. Your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Listen now, listen. Your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So when you think it's about you, and you refuse to submit to God, and you submit to other gods, I'm talking about even other leaders, but you refuse not to submit to the ones that God has chosen, you have the mark of the beast. Now see, this is how the enemy trips up people. People looking for, well, they're going to put stuff in my hands, or they're going to put stuff in my head, and they're going to put the barcode on my body. And you're looking at a natural thing, but instead of looking at it in the spirit realm. Well, here's a king. Daniel concluded his interpretation with an invitation. He told the king, renounce your sins by doing what is right. Judgment did not happen immediately, and so Nebuchadnezzar ignored his dream. And some people are like that. Because God hadn't slapped you with his left hand, you've been ignoring God. 12 months later, he stood on the flat roof of his palace, admiring his achievements. It is reported that the outer wall of his palace was 6 miles long. Can you imagine how much authority God gave him and the splendor of his kingship? His roof on his palace, the walls of his palace were 6 miles long. Watch this. There were two other battlemented walls within and a great tower, and there were three gates of bronze. Nebuchadnezzar credited all he had achieved to his own power and saw it all as contributing to his own glory with no acknowledgement of God. Like Lucifer's pride led to his downfall, suddenly the verdict fell from heaven. Your royal authority has been taken from you. There could be no doubt as to the connection between the crime and the punishment. Listen to me. There are some people that God has given so much power and authority to, but they have become like beasts. They have become so prideful. Now, God is what he's doing. He showed me this. I want you to listen. God is setting up his kings again. He never stopped. God is setting up. You better get ready. Because what God is doing, it's a spiritual move. He's given authority to people. Why? They will do just to those that who are oppressed. See, when you look at the gospel, Jesus said, listen, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Listen to me, you that are rich with this earthly goods, you that God have set over many people in the church kingdom, hear me and hear me well. God is judging and he's looking at those who will have the heart to do right toward the poor. So look what happened. Immediately, Nebuchadnezzar became insane. He turned to a beast. He was driven away from people and ate grass like cattle. Listen to this. He paid no attention to personal hygiene, and his hair became wild like eagles' feathers, and his nails like bird claws. Chapter 4, verse 33. It seems that although he was relieved of his royal duties, he was protected, kept in the palace garden, away from abuse by common people. This disease, in which a person thinks he is an animal, is known as insania, zoanthropia, and boanthropy. When the person thinks he is an ox, a case similar to Nebuchadnezzar is said to have been observed even in British mental institution in 1946. Similar cases exist today, but treatment is now available for sufferers. Is it? Listen, look what happened. Now here is a king who thought he had it all. Thought he had it all together. During Nebuchadnezzar's period of insanity, his son, evil Merodach, is said to have reigned in his regent. Daniel continued to serve as head of the wise men and must have worked to ensure kind treatment of the king in the light of his interpretation of the dream. And hope, in the hope of Nebuchadnezzar's restoration. You see, salvation involves personal conviction and repentance. Even for Nebuchadnezzar, after 7 years of humiliation, 7 years as a beast, God brought him to a point where he no longer raised his heart in pride, but rather raised his eyes to heaven in humble surrender. God responded in mercy and restored his sanity. Consequently, the king burst out in praise and worship God. Are you ready for change? Listen, it is as simple as this. If you're rejecting God, it is because of a beast nature. The mark of the beast. You see, God made man on the sixth day. Why the 6 days? Why the sixth day? Your body, soul, and spirit. That's three. When your soul is so full of hate, your soul is at the point when love leaves your body, when love leaves your soul, when love leaves your spirit, God is love. Anything the opposite of God is simply of a lower nature. It's a beast nature. The mark of the beast is when you mark yourself. It's when you refuse to submit to God. And there are many people right now praying to Satan. They think Satan is better than God because of power. You could be free. You could be free right now by confessing that you have rejected God and accepted pride. There are a lot of pastors pastoring with the spirit of a beast. They won't hear God. If God sent them somebody, they'll reject him or her. See, the spirit of Jezebel is not female. Actually, it's more male than female. The spirit of control. You can holler, it's a man's world if you want to. It's God's world. It's time to repent. I'll be back in a moment. Stay with me. Praise God. I feel the anointing.
Oh, I'm gonna trust you. Oh,
I'm gonna trust you.
Yes, I will. If you're going to trust him today, come on, lift those hands in this building. Come on, just begin to minister to God. Totally surrender. Come on. I give you my all, my all, my all. Oh, yes, I will. I'm going to trust you, Lord. If you're going to trust him today, come on, lift those hands in this building. Come on, just begin to minister to God. Totally surrender. Come on. I give you my all, my all, my all. Oh, yes, I will. Oh, yes, I will. If you're going to trust him today, come on, lift those hands in this building. Come on, just begin to minister to God. Totally surrender. Come on.
Yes, it is time to trust God. Well, this king turned his heart toward God. He said, I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven. His words reflect the fruit of Daniel's influence and prayer for him. Prayer is never in vain. This once arrogant king bows down and humbly worships him who lives forever. It is a complete evidence of an inner transformation. You can have that transformation. It has been said, and I believe it, that there is nothing more insane than human pride. And there is nothing more sober, ladies and gentlemen, than praising God. I want to say that again. There is nothing more insane than human pride. And there is nothing more sober than praising God. Are you sober? Are you sober? If you're not giving God complete glory, you're not sober. If you think it's you, if you're praising you, if you're giving yourself the glory, then you are insane. I know what it is to be insane. All of us have been insane in many areas. But after I repented, God restored me from insanity to praise. There's no other way. You either are insane or you're giving God the praise. If you're not giving God the praise, listen, you can't say I'm praising God and you dogging out folk. Mm-mm, stop it. Quit it. And you know, most people want to go to churches where a leader won't really tell them the truth. They avoid that. They want to go to places where they're buddy buddies with the leaders. You pastors going to get your tails whooped by being buddy buddy with folk and not speaking the truth. You can't be a spiritual leader and you sitting in an office and you're gossiping with people. The same people who you claim to be over. Quit it. Grow up. Repent. Well, I bless the Lord. I'll be right back.
Are y'all ready? Look at verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast. Everybody said beast. Of the field which the Lord God had made. Why would God make a beast? And people worry about the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is when your flesh refuses to submit to God. You already have the mark. And 6 is the number by which God made man, right? On the 6th day. Why is it 666? Because number 6 means dominion. God made man to have what? Dominion. Now watch this. When you allow sin to have dominion over you, you're in the mark. That's why the mark is about 6. God made man on the 6th day, gave him dominion. Satan said, okay, since you made man on the 6th day, then I'm going to mark him too. Did you notice when Cain killed Abel, there was a mark on him? Because the mark is man. And when you refuse to submit to God and allow your flesh to be dominated by sin, you mark yourself. And God, and when a man has marked himself 3 times, there you go. 666. You mark yourself in the flesh. You mark yourself in your mind. 2. Number 3. Then you mark yourself in the spirit. And there is the beast. It's called a reprobated mind.
Listen, there is a law of the beast. I want to read to you for your hearing the book of Leviticus, chapter 11, verse 36 on. Listen closely. And I'm going to read it from the King James Version. Nevertheless, a fountain or pit wherein there is plenty of water shall be clean, but that which touches their carcass shall be unclean. Listen, touching anything that is dead, it causes uncleanness. The scripture said, we were dead in trespasses and sins, but because of the cross, we've been resurrected. Verse 37 of Leviticus 11. And if any part of their carcass shall fall upon any sowing seed which is to be sown, it shall be unclean. In other words, if a seed, see, God has given us a seed of faith. You can't mix your faith with unclean stuff and expect your faith to produce. Listen, you cannot mix your faith with anything else but the Word of God. The scripture says the word, the apostles said, the word did not profit them because they didn't mix it with faith. The word with faith. So even a seed in the Old Testament that touches something that is unclean, the seed is unclean. Verse 38. But if any water be put upon the seed, and any part of their carcass shall fall upon it, it shall be unclean unto you. Now listen to this, verse 39. And if any beast of which you may eat die, he who touches the carcass thereof shall be unclean until the evening. You better thank God for grace. I know I do. Verse 40. And he who eats of the carcass of it shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the evening. He also who bears the carcass of it shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the evening. Some of you have been washed, but still unclean. Verse 41, and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth shall be an abomination. It shall not be eaten. Whosoever goes upon the belly, and whosoever goes upon all four, or whatsoever has more feet among all creeping things that creep upon the earth, them you shall not eat, for they are an abomination. You shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creeps, neither shall you make yourselves unclean with them, that you shall be defiled thereby. Now watch verse 44. Leviticus 11. Verse 44. For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any manner of creeping things that creeps upon the earth. For I am the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God, who shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Watch this, verse 36. Look at verse 46. This is the law of the beasts and of the fowl and of every living creature that moves in the waters and of every creature that creeps upon the earth, to make a difference between unclean and the clean, and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten. You see, the Holy Spirit makes a difference between the unclean and clean. When you walk in true holiness, you walk after the Spirit. Okay, the law of the beast. So what is a beast nature? A beast nature is when one refuses to submit to God. Do you ever find yourself around people who do all types of stuff, can't stop, even if they want to? That's the beast nature. 2 Peter, I want to read this to you. It's very important. 2 Peter. I'm turning my Bible, turn yours. 2 Peter. It'll bless you, I promise you. 2 Peter. I'm almost there. Chapter 2 and verse 12. It reads this. Let me go to verse 10. But chiefly them who walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise governments, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, this is dealing with false teachers, are as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall deceive the and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they who count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Now, talking about false leaders, they are called beasts. People who teach false doctrine. in the Word of God, they are called beast. That's what they are called. Now, this is God's word. This is not my word. This is God's word. If you're following somebody and they're teaching you false teachings, you're following the beast. Listen, Nebuchadnezzar refused to give God the glory. On this broadcast, I, Roderick, a king in the earth, do give God absolute glory for the past, present, and future. For what he is doing in my life, I will never give myself credit for what he is doing. Know that. Well, I'll see you tomorrow night. I thank God for what he's doing. I never know what God is going to say, but I promise you I'm going to say whatever he tells me to say. Be back in a few minutes. We have about 3 minutes. Every leader, I warn you, God looks at false teachers as predators on a prowl. God is especially incensed against these teachers who live by lust, addicted to a filthy existence. They despise interference from true authority, preferring to indulge in self-rule. Okay, egotistic. They don't hesitate to speak evil against the most splendid things of God. Even angels. Listen to this. Even angels and their superiors will not think of throwing their weight around like that, trying to slander others before God. If you're around somebody that all they do is try to slander God's anointed, in the name of, I have a building, so I'm a pastor, and I speak from God. No, 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 no. 1 Corinthians 12:28, it tells you what God put in the church. And because many leaders reject God's true apostles, God said, I'm going to give them kingdoms. You fighting over a few hundred folks or a few 20 folks, and God has given nations to those who obeyed him. I give God the glory. because I am right now in contact with world leaders. I thank God in the kingdom of God. I'm talking about God's leaders. There's a move of God that's going to blow the minds of those who have not believed. Well, you have hope. We have hope. Repent and be free. I love you. This is Roderick Owensby. I'll see you tomorrow. God bless.
You that pray in the spirit, the only reason God gave you the gift to pray in the spirit, so that he can give you some understanding through the spirit, so that the spirit can tame your tongue. He can do abundantly above all that you ask or think. Nobody ever asks anything without thinking first.
Are y'all ready? Are y'all ready? Look at verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast. Everybody said beast. Of the field which the Lord God had made. Why would God make a beast? And people worry about the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is when your flesh refuses to submit to God. You already have the mark. And 6 is the number by which God made man, right? On the 6th day. Why is it 666? Because number 6 means dominion. God made man to have what? Dominion. Now watch this. When you allow sin to have dominion over you, you're in the mark. That's why the mark is about 6. God made man on the 6th day, gave him dominion. Satan said, okay, since you made man on the 6th day, then I'm going to mark him too. Did you notice when Cain killed Abel, there was a mark on him? Because the mark is made. And when you refuse to submit to God and allow your flesh to be dominated by sin, you mark yourself. And God, and when a man has marked himself 3 times, there you go. 666. You mark yourself in the flesh. You mark yourself in your mind. 2. Number 3. Then you mark yourself in the spirit. And there is the beast. It's called a reprobated mind.